Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus cruise radio show that strictly talks hockey. Got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
Little honoring of the Queen of Soul today as she passed away, Aretha Franklin. Yeah, if you've missed the news, hopefully you haven't missed the news, because she's been on just about every report you could find everywhere. But Aretha Franklin did pass away today at the age of 76. Big song, Respect, not written in 1967, the original song that sort of broke her out in terms of making her a Billboard smash. Respect was Aretha Franklin's first Billboard number one hit, and it won her first of her 18 total Grammy Awards that she won in her career.
Legend.
Prominently featured in the iconic Blues Brothers film, where she sang another one of her most memorable tunes. As I'm going to fade out this one and bring in the next one. Here, you might remember this scene from the Blues Brothers.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think.
That song, originally written in 1968, featured prominently as Matt Guitar Murphy and Aretha Franklin married and running the diner while the Blues Brothers come in and make one fried chicken.
I haven't seen that movie in ages.
Dried white toast. Two Cokes.
I'd eat it.
That's good.
I'd eat it.
Two Cokes and one fried chicken. Dry white bread. Dry white toast. So that was someone that went on to her next big hits. Aretha and her songwriting and occasional backup vocalist sister, Carolyn, were masterful, obviously, at their craft, and she is a legend in the music industry among some of her biggest hits. Where I Knew You Were Waiting, duetted with George Michael in 1987, Until You Come Back to Me in 1974. This hit, which put her back on the map for, I'm going to say, the pop crowd in the 1980s and really got her sort of going in terms of everything that's going on. This was a massive hit for her. Song Freeway of Love in 1985 put her back on the map in terms of the music industry, really got her going again in terms of everything that's going on. Other hits included Chain of Fools in 1968 and Natural Woman in 1967, another monster hit for her. Aretha Franklin, unfortunately gone today at the age of 76. Do you want a full hour with Aretha tonight? Punks and Parkas at 9 p.m. will have a full hour featuring Aretha Franklin, as Penny Lane's preempted all of her show's programming to play all Aretha Franklin tonight.
Nice.
So good, tune in for that. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff on Venus Envy at 8 p.m. as well with Terry, if she hasn't pre-recorded. I don't know if she has or not, but Aretha Franklin, unfortunately, one of the legends of the music industry, gone today at the age of 76. Speaking of that, another guy that died 41 years to the day before Aretha did today, Elvis Presley.
Yeah. King and King and Queen.
Yeah, unreal in terms of the people we lost today. Apparently Babe Ruth was another guy that called it quits on today as well. So big day in terms of different people.
Another thing about Aretha Franklin, I think she was the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You are correct, I believe, in terms of getting in there. And she absolutely deserves that. She's a fantastic musician. Again, I was introduced to her with the Blues Brothers in terms of everything that's going on with that. So I got to know at least a little bit about her music before my time, anyway. And
if you didn't know anything about her music, you probably aren't like listening. You don't have ears, and you don't.
She's been everywhere. She's
the one that pretty much started the soul industry for women.
Again, the Queen of Soul, exactly. Yeah.
She was the pioneer in that genre of music. So
she was a legend. And speaking of legends, we're going to get to another one right away here. Reason why I say legend is because this gentleman is a legend in the hockey community. He's done a ton of stuff. He was one of the original NHL Jets when they joined the NHL. Did you know that?
He didn't play for the Jets, though, did he?
He did.
Did he?
Two seasons. 79, 80, 80, 80, 81. He actually, so what happened was in the WHA playing with Cincinnati Stingers. He was drafted fourth in the fourth round by the Stingers in the WHA. No, sorry, second round by the Stingers. Sorry, fourth round by the Montreal Canadiens in the same year. Decided to go to the WHA, play the Cincinnati Stingers. So he was playing with the Stingers, WHA folds. He gets picked up by the Quebec Nordiques in the dispersal draft.
Okay.
And then 20 days later is traded to the Winnipeg Jets and becomes one of the original Winnipeg Jets to play here in Winnipeg.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so it's one of the things we're going to kick off with. You're going to hear about that a little bit in the introduction. But ladies and gentlemen, we are happy. We are proud. I got a chance to sit down with Barry Melrose yesterday, actually, as he was doing a major media campaign to get everything going, as he's in a brand new movie. Brand new fun movie, too, in terms of what's coming out. So we're going to play that right now here. Here is Barry Melrose yesterday as he and I chatted for the hockey show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me clear off. Got Aretha still playing in the background.
I got
another legend on the radio there. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the hockey
there
show
we go.
Is proud, honored, privileged, and humbled to welcome a legend of the hockey community to the program tonight. He is an original Winnipeg Jet from the club's inaugural NHL season. He spent time in Cincinnati, Toronto, and Detroit in his WHA and NHL playing days before winning a Calder Cup as a coach with the Adirondack Red Wings in 92 and guiding the Los Angeles Kings and Wayne Gretzky to the 93 Stanley Cup final. He is a well-known hockey analyst, previously on ESPN, currently on the NHL Network. He's a best-selling author, and he's one heck of an actor. It is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Barry Melrose to the hockey show tonight. How are you, sir?
Good introduction. Thank you very much.
Hey.
I think you hit all the high notes right there. Thank you.
Trying to make sure I got everything under the sun there for you. So let's get right into this. Have a little chat about the movie coming out, which is Ahocalypse. Pretty fun. What looks like a great fun movie in terms of everything that's going on. How did you get involved in the new sort of Sparrowhawks picture film, Ahocalypse?
Well, the people that are creating the movie are Hall hockey fans, and the one part they have in the show is I don't want to give it away, but it's they said I'd be perfect for it. They said you're the perfect guy to play this one part, and that's sort of how I am. I'm sort of typecast. I sort of play me. when I played Mystery Alaska and Slap Shot 2 and Spin City, I always played me and. And really, this is basically me playing me at the end of the world. So this is what happens at the end of the world. And I'm still there, thank God.
Yeah.
So it worked out well. It's a great movie. People that have seen it love it. I love doing it. It's a combination of Slapshot and Walking Dead. What else can you... All we needed was some Sons of Anarchy in there, and we got the perfect movie, probably.
No doubt, that would be all right. I understand you are a pretty big horror movie fan as well. Do you have an all-time favorite, sort of must-watch horror film whenever it's on TV?
Oh, horror movie?
Yeah.
I'm an action predator. I love the action movies. I love westerns.
Okay.
I do love horror movies. I like the old horror movies. I've got grandsons now, so I'm getting into the Avengers and the stuff like that. I'm a Western guy and an action guy. Schwarzenegger and all the guys that do those movies.
Sure.
But actually, that's how I used to spend my days if I was a healthy scratcher. I wasn't playing that night. I'd spend the afternoon at the movies. So my roommate could sleep. So I've always been a guy that went to a lot of movies. I do enjoy movies.
That's awesome. Being that Ahocalypse is a zombie movie, do you get to kill any zombies? Can we add Zombie Slayer to your resume, for example?
You know what? Technically, I do because it's not me directly killing one, but I do kill one.
So
people have to watch how that works out in the movie, but... I do get rid of some zombies, which is always fun. Everyone should get to get rid of some zombies in the world. There's nothing sweeter.
Right on. That's great. So does that mean, with your zombie fighting experience now, will we see, you leave the NHL Network, maybe join the cast of The Walking Dead in the future? Is that a Barry Melrose move?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I enjoy that. Obviously I mentioned Sons of Anarchy, Kim Coates is on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
He's a Canadian boy out of North Battleford, Saskatchewan. So we got to know Kim as over the years as fans. Me and Levy and the guys in our cigar bar love the Sons of Anarchy. We'd have Sons of Anarchy night. So wow. I know there's another Sons of Anarchy movie coming up now called The Mayans. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that they'll continue to do them. And I'm hoping that maybe we'll have a sequel to Hawk Apocalypse. So down the road a little bit if things work out.
Yeah, you never know what could happen there for sure. The release date is tomorrow for Hawkalypse on both DVD and video on demand. Always want to, you know, sort of get the behind the scenes. What was your most memorable thing about being on set for the film?
Driving the bus.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm, and I drove big trucks all the time. But to get behind the wheel of and this was an authentic hockey bus. This bus basically looked exactly like the bus from Slapshot. And I spent so much time in my life on a bus, traveling in junior and traveling in the American League and all the places I've been. I've spent so much time on a bus. You know, it's one of my favorite modes of transportation. So actually getting behind the wheel of an authentic, you know, basically 1960s bus that looks exactly like a hockey bus, that was a lot of fun. That was a blast driving that.
Speaking of minor leagues, the film was filmed in Austin, Minnesota, where the Spam Museum is located. Did you happen to get a chance to visit the iconic Spiced Ham Museum there?
Actually, I did not, but I do love Spam. That's interesting that you say that. People always make fun of Spam. I think it's the most underrated food there is in the world right now, but that's interesting. The rink, it was great. The rink was it's what a junior hockey rink should look like.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a beautiful, big, glitzy, looks like a mall. It looks like a hockey rink, and the dressing room looks like a dressing room. And, you know, the parking lot looks like what a parking lot should look like at a junior hockey rink. So authenticity was created there because, you know, the building and all the surrounding structures looks exactly like most people's rinks in the cities and towns that they grew up in.
So, I mean, you're a coach. You've led players. You certainly directed players. Wayne Harry Johnson Jr. directs a Hawkalypse, which basically makes him the coach on set. Did you guys compare notes at all in terms of how to lead people on there?
Actually, he was great. He said, Barry, you handle this situation like you would handle it as a coach, as a guy that has been in a situation, has been a leader, just like you said. He said, you handle it the way that a coach would handle it. A guy in the hockey world will handle it. So we had a blast doing that. And then obviously, you know, I shot my parts a long time before the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's one of the interesting things about movies is how long they take to do and the sequence that you shoot them in, the order you shoot them in. And my parts are at the end of the movie, and yet I was one of the first shots taken. So it's always interesting how those things work. They're very... they're intricate, and I can imagine how, you know, a big blockbuster, how they must be shot, and the people that do that, how hard that must be to get the order and the sequence in the right order and stuff like that. But I was one of the first shots, and I was near the end of the movie, my scenes.
That's okay. They got you at sort of the best time then, for sure.
Small but pivotal role, that's the way I say it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, nothing wrong with that. For those that may not understand what a Hawkalypse is. It's been described as sort of a comedy horror, sort of a fun movie that dives into the sort of the zombie apocalypse idea inside of a hockey rink. For those that may roll their eyes at this idea of a Hawkalypse and shrug it off as just another B-flick horror movie, why should they see it outside of the, you know, Academy Award role that you might be playing in this film there, Mr.
Thank
Holmes?
You. Well, I always say people laughed at Slapshot, and people laughed at so many other movies that turned out to be unbelievable. If you're a hockey fan or you're a fan of the zombie genre, you got to go see it. You know, what's the worst thing you can do? It costs you like $15.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, it's funny as hell. It is funny as hell. And, you know, the hockey scenes are good. They use real hockey players. So these guys can skate. If you look at the old, you know, the some of the other hockey things that have been done. The guys can't skate. Burt Reynolds can't skate. I hate to tell people out there that Burt Reynolds is not a great skater. So I think that maybe they should realize that. And the same thing, you know, that's one of the things that makes Slapshot so good is they use hockey players in the movie. And that's what we did with this movie is that these guys are hockey players. They play junior hockey, and they can skate, and they can carry the puck, and they can pass the puck, and you know, that's what is fun about this movie is the people that are involved can do the things that we're talking about. So you're not looking at a bunch of guys out there that can't skate, can't shoot, can't carry the puck. These guys are hockey players, and they're young guys, and a lot of them have speaking parts, and a lot of them are there for the skating scenes and things like that. But these guys can actually move and do the hockey scenes.
That's awesome. No, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a fun movie. I'm going to finish off with a couple of fun questions here for you. Of all the guys you've coached or played with, who would be the scariest zombie?
Scariest zombie? Oh, Marty McSorley.
Okay.
And Marty don't even need any makeup. Marty's so scary looking.
That's okay.
Marty would be the zombie, without a doubt. If all the guys I played with and guys that played for me, Marty would definitely be the scariest guy. There's no doubt about it. He looks scary, talks scary, and he's one of the toughest guys that ever played the game. So, yeah, Marty would be a scary zombie.
Yeah, no doubt about that. He was one of the toughest guys for sure. We know that from his time in Edmonton, coming here to Winnipeg all the time. Lastly, because we always try to find people that are smarter than us at this hockey stuff, got to ask you, because you're one of the greatest in terms of being an analyst, any bold predictions for the upcoming season?
I think the Winnipeg Jets are going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I think Winnipeg is a team that I felt was one of the best teams in the NHL last year. I think that if they stay healthy and continue to on the progression of all these younger players getting a year older, a year better, a year more mature. I think Winnipeg's going to be tough to beat. Nashville's good. Obviously, Vegas is good. But Winnipeg is for real. They're a good hockey club. So I'll be very surprised if Winnipeg isn't one of the players come the spring.
Right on. That'll be hopefully that comes true. Knock on wood. We're hoping for that as well. But again, Mr. Melrose, I can't thank you enough for giving us a little bit of your time today to talk hockey and zombies. We look forward to seeing you in Apocalypse, which comes out tomorrow on DVD and video on demand on August 17th here.
Are you going to go watch it?
I am definitely going to be watching it. I'm going to, in fact, probably pick up a couple of copies maybe for giveaway on future shows here as well. Yeah.
Actually, we're going to get together here in my house in Glens Falls, New York, my sons and maybe some neighbors, and we're going to have a viewing party also. So
right on.
It's going to be fun.
I like I said, I'm looking forward to it, and I mean, I can't wait to see exactly how your zombie kill of the week will go down there for sure in terms of
thank you very much.
Different
Thank
stuff.
You. I appreciate that.
Not a problem at all. Thanks again, Mr. Melrose.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. So there's Barry Melrose. Talking zombies, talking hockey. Yeah, he was great. He was awesome in his interview, and
sounded
I'm happy
like
he
had fun.
Yeah, he was great. Get some great answers out of him, actually, in terms of Marty McSorley as a zombie would be fun. I think that would be hilarious, and the fact he doesn't even need any makeup is a little bit of a shot there from Barry Melrose. But and then talking Jets in the Western Conference Final, he says again. So back-to-back Western Conference Final appearances, maybe knock on wood, maybe this time we'll actually see them go all the way this year.
Cup, yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, if progression keeps going up, it could only be a Stanley Cup Final appearance.
I asked him for a bold prediction, and that is bold. So,
bold.
well done for Barry Melrose. Again, if you're looking for a Hawkalypse, it is a brand new sort of comedy horror movie. A little bit of fun on the zombie apocalypse theme as the I believe the Prairie Kings win a championship and then find out that the entire
everyone's a zombie.
The entire arena has been converted into zombies. Through no means of their own, and you gotta figure out how to get out of the arena. That comes out tomorrow on DVD. Comes out on video on demand tomorrow. Look forward at your favorite whatever service you use for video on demand, and obviously at your favorite store if you want to pick one of those, pick a copy of that up. Assume it's going to be good. Happy to have had Barry Melrose on, and hopefully we can maybe have him on again. And
once the movie comes out.
Spend an hour with him, talk about his Academy Award nomination for this role and everything like that. So it'll be fun.
It'll be fun. And speaking of Barry Melrose, Spam.
Spam, exactly.
I
we were just talking
spam.
About that. Yeah,
I love Spam.
You think you're Hawaiian or no? Or what? Apparently it's huge in Hawaii, too.
Why wouldn't it be? It should be huge everywhere.
Like they don't have, and again, this is, again, secondhand, I don't know if this is entirely true, but they don't have... Because they don't have, the agricultural land to have farm animals and stuff like that or whatever. I mean, they ship stuff in, beef but apparently Spam is their meat of choice. It's canned, it can be preserved, it can be all that stuff. McDonald's, for example, serves Spam. in Hawaii.
I don't doubt it.
You can go to McDonald's and get Spam.
Like
which,
a Spam burger?
Like a Spam burger. Mm. If you want a Big Mac, a big Spam attack.
You can go to the screen and pick your options and add Spam.
Perhaps there's an add Spam option there now.
Yeah, I am moving exactly. to Hawaii.
So, yeah.
I love Spam. Just fry it up and have it some eggs and...
But it is true. Austin, Minnesota is the home of the Hormel factory where they make Spam. There and there's an entire museum dedicated to Spam and all the Hormel products there. So, and it's literally called the Spam Museum. If you're going to Austin, Minnesota, if you're going to be there, it's about 90 minutes south of Minneapolis. If you're going to be by there, drop in, get yourself a little education at the Spam Museum, folks.
And get yourself some Spam.
If you want, grab yourself some lunch while you're there.
You just need a fork and you're good to go.
Done and done.
Done and done.
Use the key. Wheel off the lid. No, clean off the jelly.
If you're on a road trip, nobody will love you in the car. Doesn't matter. You're happy because you're eating Spam.
All right. We're going to get back to the hockey thing here now. Speaking of Spam. Going to get back to the hockey thing here now. Got about 5 minutes before the break. So 5 to 6 minutes before the break here before the legal ID needs to be played and all that kind of stuff in terms of everything that's going on. Where do you want to start there, Beans? Do you want to start far east? Do you want to start close to home?
KHL since it's a long list of KHL stuff.
We've got a lot of KHL stuff to talk about, but there's even further hockey news to discuss.
Well, we got a half hour, so let's do it.
Let's start as far as we can go to the east, then. If we're going to go east. Let's go as far as we can go without actually hitting the borders of Canada again. Matt Murley, you might remember that name. Matt Murley is a Canadian-born goalie who played for the South Korean Olympic team. Mm. He has decided he's going to return to South Korea for, and I thought, and even he put this down when he wrote it, he thought it was a mistake as well, his 17th pro season of hockey.
Where else did he play pro
hockey?
He's
played all over the place.
All over the map.
But Matt Murley will return to South Korea for 17th pro season with the Dame Young Killer Whales.
Sweet.
Do you know who's going to be joining Murley on the Killer Whales as their key free agent acquisition?
Wojtek Volski.
You're close. It was a guy who played in the KHL last year.
Yeah, I was going to think. Is he Canadian?
No.
No.
He is Russian.
He's a Russian.
He used to play for the LA Kings and I believe the Dallas Stars. I could be wrong about Dallas. I seem to remember him somehow getting to Dallas.
I can't picture it.
Former Los Angeles King Alexander Frolov will join Murley in Dame Young as a member of the Killer Whales. There you go. He played with Amur Khabarovsk, I think, or whatever the hell the name of the city is over there. Anyway, over in the KHL last year. So there's your South Korean professional hockey.
So do they have their own league? South Korean has
South Korea
own,
has their own professional
they're not
league.
Part
yeah.
of the KHL.
They are not. No. No, none of the teams. They're the only team that's outside of, or the only team from sort of the Far East anyway, that is part of the KHL is the Kunlun Red Star in China. So, So, but the South Korea's got their own. Their own setup there, and that's where they're training players to play anyway in terms of getting everything going. You want to start KHL then, do you?
Sure, why not?
Lots of stuff to go to. You want to start player signings, or you want to start news? News?
Just give it to me.
Let's do signings first because we might be able to break this up into two separate spots then. Here we go. Former Winnipeg Jet Paul Postma, traded to the Bruins, as you may remember. Former Winnipeg Jet Paul Postma signed a one-year deal with Akbars Kazan. So he'll play with Akbars Kazan and Alexander Burmistrov as the Jets are starting to assemble over in Kazan now.
Best buddies.
According to more reports, Marc-Andre Gragnani, who played in the Olympics for Canada, signed a one-year deal with the Kunlun Red Star. St. Petersburg, SKA St. Petersburg, Ilya Kovalchuk's former team, traded Sergei Kalinin to CSKA Moscow for Andre Kuzmenko. And then St. Petersburg went out and signed Kuzmenko to a new deal. So, not a big deal other than what's going on. But Kalinin now goes to Moscow. Retired Barras Astana forward American Brandon Bachinski, as you may remember, retired last season after I think setting all sorts of scoring records for Astana in terms of career scoring records.
I think he's about 40 years old.
It could be late 30s, early, maybe close to 40, 40. Well, he unretired. He's going to come back and play for Barras Astana this year.
He pulled a Yager.
He's Yagering up a little bit.
Because Yager never retired, but...
Goalie Ivan Nalimov, who demanded a trade from the Chicago Blackhawks, who hold his rights earlier this summer, he signed a one-year deal with the Kunlun Red Star. Nikolai Kovalenko, a Colorado Avalanche draft pick, signed a three-year deal with Lokomotiv Yaroslavl. Former Manitoba Moose, former Vancouver Canuck, former San Jose Shark, Yannick Hansen.
That was a surprise.
This was a surprise. Signed a one-year deal with CSKA Moscow. Former Pittsburgh Penguin Max Talbot had his contract bought out by Lokomotiv, and he's reportedly going to sign with Avangard Omsk. I haven't seen an announcement about him signing there yet, but apparently he's going to do that. Brandon Kozun, former Toronto Maple Leaf, he left Lokomotiv. No word on where he's going to surface yet. Vadim Shipachov, former Vegas Golden Knight, former Chicago Wolf, who didn't want to be there.
Very, very quick.
Signed with Dynamo Moscow as sort of their key piece in the offseason this year.
He was barely a twinkle in Vegas's eye.
Speaking of Vegas, former Vegas Golden Knight, Timu Pulkkinen, former Detroit Red Wing, Timu Pulkkinen, former Arizona Coyote, Timu Pulkkinen. He also signed with a Dynamo team, although he'll be going to Dynamo Minsk in Belarus, who are reportedly now trying to trade him. So
nobody wants him, eh?
For some reason, teams keep signing him and wanting to get rid of him.
Right, I remember, I think it was a few years ago where we said the Jets maybe should trade for him.
He looked like he was going to be a star. He had a bunch of great goals. He was great with Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And came up to Detroit, scored a bunch of goals early on, and then all of a sudden just disappeared. And again, I think most of it's because he doesn't skate very well. He's not a very strong skater. But, I mean, he's got the shot at least to play in the NHL. Anyway. Where are we here now in my list of... Oh, here we are. Former Manitoba Moose, Sergei Shirokov. Former Vancouver Canucks. Sergei Shirokov has left St. Petersburg and has joined Avangard Omsk.
Yeah.
Former Canuck, Lyndon Vey, goes from Zurich in the Swiss League to CSKA Moscow. Former Minnesota Wild defenseman John Blum has left Torpedo Nizhny Novgorod, reportedly due to family issues. I was a little concerned, was trying to find out what was going on. Turns out nothing's going on. Turns out he just wanted to come home because... Well, yeah, there's just something going on. Turns out he wanted to come home because it was announced that he and his wife, Emily, are having a baby boy.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Friend of the show, Emily Blum.
Friend of the show. She's been on once. Maybe we can try and...
Very short time on.
Yeah, maybe we can try and get her on, get somebody on from the Blum family again. Former New Jersey Devil, Michael Latta. Highly... touted prospect for a long time, Michael Latta. He's going to be going to the Kunlun Red Star as well. So Kunlun building a team out of that in terms of your stuff that's getting on there.
Kunlun, you've mentioned Kunlun quite a few times now.
I'll mention them even more. There's more stuff going on, but we're going to do that after the legal ID here, folks. Right. As we take, should we take a break? All the clocks in this entire place are all wrong.
Well, according to my phone, it's 2:02.
Okay, you know what? We'll keep going then.
Okay.
Speaking of Kunlun Red Star. Hired Wayne Gretzky to join them to help promote and develop hockey in China.
Not to strap on the skates.
No, he will not be skating.
Shoot.
But he will play the role of global ambassador as he tries to help promote and develop hockey in China. So whether or not that's a good idea or not, I don't know. But
it's a new adventure for him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say you can get a chance to go over and travel in China and see all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but anytime you sign the sort of the most appealing guy, the biggest name in hockey... Got a good chance of promoting something anyway. Speaking of Kunlun Red Star, they're also going to be moving this season. Mid-season.
Oh, wow.
Kunlun Red Star will move from Shanghai to Beijing's Cadillac Arena in December. Apparently there's some scheduling issues where they try to get into Beijing this year. But the basketball team, the pro basketball team that plays out of the Cadillac Arena, caused some scheduling issues. So they're going to move in December midway through the season.
And basketball out there is like their big sport.
Yeah, right? That's big to them in terms of everything that's going on.
That's number one priority right there. So.
Flip this over and get it going. According to reports that are coming out from both Dynamo Riga and the NHL, Dynamo Riga in Latvia trying to get an NHL club to play the squad in an exhibition game next season. So some NHL team going to maybe go over and play the Dynamo Riga team. No teams have been mentioned yet, but NHL's Bill Daly confirmed that the discussions are ongoing as to who may go. So, sounds like that's going to happen at some point. There'll be an announcement for that. Possibly like the Finnish and Swedish series that the Jets are going to be part of this year. With St. Petersburg pushing for a new arena. Sounds like the IIHF is going to cash in as well. As they want in on the action, might have to put the 2023 Men's World Hockey Championship there. It could be a good idea to do that. They got a pretty good population. Seems like they like hockey in that city.
It's kind of where it's at.
Also reported is that Novosibirsk will reportedly host the 2023 World Junior Championships.
Okay.
Just another note from the Russians getting in close with Rene Fossil and IIHF.
They're just saying these things. It's not actually...
Reportedly. Avangard Omsk, their arena, aptly named Arena Omsk. Avangard Omsk apparently has some foundation problems. Oh. Cracks in the floor of the arena. A little hard to put some ice down. As we all know, ice expands and cracks, leaves gigantic potholes in your arena.
It happens.
Just like they do the streets in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So the team will temporarily move for this season. They will move to play in Balashika. You might go, well, where is that?
It's probably probably next door. A quick jog over.
No, yeah. Balashika is 45 minutes east of downtown Moscow. Okay. So if you're working in Moscow, you're not that far away from the rink. And it's only some 2,700 kilometers away from Omsk. By car, I mapped this out. By car, it is a 37-hour drive.
It's shorter to get from Winnipeg to Palm Springs, California, which I've done, than it is to get to...
I'm not going
to
joke about this. It's probably shorter going from Halifax to Vancouver.
Probably.
But in saying that, it's a 3.5-hour airplane flight to get from Omsk to Moscow.
If you're a fan, you're not going to fly
up
there. And...
So they're not going to play in front of their fans this year. They're going to play in front of anybody. Probably is, and they're playing in a smaller arena. Arena Omsk seats about 11,000. The arena, the Balashik Arena, only holds 6,000 people. So,
and you're that far away. How many people in that city are cheering for that team?
See, they believe that there's a large contingent of people from Omsk that have moved to Moscow and still cheer for the team when they play there. So they feel that there's probably going to be a decent crowd there. And I'm not going to deny that. There might be.
I guess we'll see.
There might be.
Yeah.
But,
That's a long way, though.
Now we're talking about Dynamo Moscow being in that city. They play in Moscow. We're talking about CSKA Moscow in that city. And now we're talking about another team that's 45 minutes outside of Moscow.
Yeah. That's like moving your whole operation out. That's a lot of work.
And finally, some new rules in the KHL this year. Now... You can say whether or not you want to see these in the NHL or in North American hockey or not, but apparently these rules are being introduced to help make the game flow better in the KHL, at least. We saw some of these at the Gretzky-Hlinka tournament that were used, but we'll see if these are actually being implemented and are going to be used this season in the KHL. New rule number one. If a goalie leaves his crease to cover the puck and there's no opponent attacking, automatic delay of game penalty.
I think so. I think keep
play the puck, right?
Keeps the play going.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
I thought it was a rule. I mean, that a goalie couldn't cover the puck outside the crease originally. Like, I thought that was a rule in the NHL before.
I thought it was as well, but apparently this is now going to be...
Doesn't get called, I
guess. This might just be if you put your glove down on top of it to slow it up, maybe. Like, you have to play it with your stick, maybe, is what they're saying. There was no real explanation as to where I was reading this, so that's okay. Rule number two, if there is an icing and the defender doesn't hustle to go back and tag up for the icing, there will be a team warning issued, and then every subsequent play after that a defenseman doesn't hustle will be an automatic delay of game penalty.
See, now, who gets to determine what's a hustle or not?
That's the referee and linesman.
See, that could just get all sorts of trouble, I think.
If you don't put your head down and skate hard, basically, they're telling you that you're going to get called for delay of game.
You know what? As a defenseman... I like those breaks sometimes.
I'm sure you do, but they're trying to make sure that you're not abusing them.
But you're not...
Listen, your pleasure...
Certain situations listen, where nobody's going to get there.
Your pleasure skate from center back to your own zone is not going to happen
anymore.
But
in certain situations, the guy behind you, the offensive player coming behind you, isn't coming.
Put your head down and go. That's what they're saying.
I'm taking the penalty. I'm sorry.
You can do that. Your coach may not be happy.
Taking the penalty.
Speaking about taking a penalty, any player now... And this sounds like it's a very smart rule based upon its... I don't know how they're going to enforce it because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of complaints about this. Any player who hits an opponent who does not have the puck or has immediately passed the puck away, automatic penalty. So basically, if you don't have possession of the puck now and somebody lays into you, penalty.
So if you pass the puck and like instantly a guy hits you, that's
not instantly. I believe it's going to be similar to what the NHL. Although again, the NHL has really sort of played with that 1 second rule.
Yeah.
It sounds like this will be if it leaves your stick, and it you know, say it's me to you distance away. You know, we're like
five feet away. Yeah, really.
We're 5 feet away. It leaves my stick. It touches your stick, and then I get hit. Even though it's less than a second, penalty on whoever hit me.
Yeah. So they're getting rid of guys trying to finish their checks.
Pretty much getting rid of guys trying to finish their checks that might be dirty, it sounds like. Yeah, I mean, you can finish your check if you rub a guy out, but if you lay into him and throw a big hit or something, that sounds like it's going to be a penalty.
Yeah.
All coaches' challenges should be noted. There's unlimited coaches' challenges in the KHL.
Unlimited. Well,
all coaches' challenge are subject to a delay of game penalty if the coach loses the challenge now.
See, I didn't know that they're unlimited. If they were limited, then I was thinking, ah, it's kind of sucky, but... If they're unlimited, then, yeah, I could. That's one I don't think the NHL, unless they're going to implement unlimited.
See, I still think if you call it and you're wrong, you deserve the two-minute penalty. I don't care if you have one or if you have a million coaches' challenges. You still get the penalty for wasting the time.
Yeah. But some of those is like...
Because it's essentially a timeout, and guys were calling challenges last year.
I'm
glad that they put the penalty in.
Yeah.
But the fact that all of them now are subject to delay of game if you get the challenge wrong, that's a smart move.
But my issue, too, sometimes is that, you know, if the linesmen or the referees are taking a long time looking at the play, it's obviously a very close play or very something so close to call that you can barely... You know,
right,
you know,
but
that's also
10 minutes you haven't spent on the ice waiting for a call that
sometimes
you should be playing.
The officials, that time limit should be in
before the legal ID. Speaking of time limit, before the legal ID, any player can now shoot a penalty shot when awarded. Doesn't have to be the player that was hauled down or taken
out
or whatever.
Not going to be able to see any penalty shot bloopers anymore.
No, they're just going to be good guys that take it now. So, we'll be back in literally 15 seconds here, folks. After the legal ID, we'll have a lot more to discuss as there's still a bunch of other stuff we got to go over here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
If the right sphere of the brain controls the left side of the body, and the left sphere of the brain controls the right side of the body, does this mean only left-handed people are in their right minds?
UMFM 101.5. Listened to by left and right-handed people.
Okay. I am not sure. Left-handed.
I'm ambidextrous.
I'm right-handed, but I have no idea what that means now.
What if you don't have any hands?
Let's move closer. Let's go. Keep going wet. I don't know.
That
would be a problem.
Can't listen to the show if you don't have hands.
We appreciate you listening to the show, regardless of how many hands you have. German Elite League. As we now jump to the German Elite League, we got an interest there.
We do now.
The Krefeld Penguin, as we know, coached by Brandon Reed, played their first exhibition game on Thursday of last week, and they defeated the Cologne Sharks 7-4 in the exhibition game. So Cologne, who was ranked 6th overall last year in the DEL, was defeated by the team that was ranked 14th out of 14 teams last year. They went up 2-0 on a couple of goals. Just to give you an idea, Kirill Kabanov had an assist. Martin Lefebvre, who came over from the Metalligans Aalborg Pirates, he had a goal and assist. Philip Gusberger.
Philip.
Hang on, I'm going to find that name right now because I feel like it's important
It could be important.
I feel like it could be important to get it right.
Because if you don't get it right now and he becomes something big, we're going to be shooting ourselves in the foot there.
Philip Brugesser, sorry. There we go.
It sounds like you're not saying it right.
No, it is. Philip Brugesser, who played for the Esbjerg Energy last season, a team that Brian coached against. Yeah. He had a goal and assist as well. So a lot of good stuff in terms of seeing the guys come over from the Meta League, and where Brandon said recruits, there was a lot of good players playing and that should, you know, maybe get a chance. They went up 2-0 on two power play goals. Cologne came back, tied it up 2-2. Ironically, a fire alarm went off at the arena, stopped the game. And then the second
that
period
should be a penalty.
Second period, Krefeld got 3 goals, make it 5-2. Back came Cologne again, scored a couple of goals with about 4 minutes to go. They scored their fourth goal, and then 2 empty netters by Krefeld made it a 7-4 final. So first win for Brandon. It might be just an exhibition win, but hey, first win
doesn't count, but
in the German Elite League for him.
In our eyes, it counts.
They will play the Iserlohn Rooster tomorrow in another exhibition game, so chance to get things going. If you want to read the write-up about that, go to Hockey Blog in Canada. There's an incredible footnote about one of the scorers there for Krefeld named Gregor Hansen. Gregor Hansen spent 4 years at Northern Michigan University in the NCAA from 2007 to 2011, okay? In the next 7 seasons, he played for 15 teams in 5 leagues. Half bag will travel.
Yeah, that's don't unpack your suitcase anytime soon.
So I went through and I highlighted all the nomadic places he's played in terms of the different places.
Yeah.
Like he's gone here. Cups of coffee with a bunch of teams, but they just seem to pass him around depending on who needs a winger. So kind of funny to see that in terms of everything.
Well,
going
it's on. Nice to be wanted, but also not nice to be shipped off all the time. But
No, I mean, he basically played out of a couple of ECHL franchises, but it's these AHL teams that kept calling on him and going, hey, we need a guy, are you available, you got a bag packed, okay, let's go.
My bag's always packed.
Let's go a little closer to home. Canadian University Sports, lots of news there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna work sort of my way up on this one because I want to talk about the last thing a lot here, and I think we need to have a discussion about this because I think it's something that needs to be pointed out to the respected fans of this show who need to know some of this stuff. But let's start with the first one. Former Calgary Dino Sasha Vafina, you might remember her, she's an outstanding Russian scorer for the Dinos, signed in Nizhny Novgorod for the upcoming season as she leaves a powerful UFA team that won the championship last year. So Sasha Vafina, if you're looking for her information, if you want to keep track of what she's doing, is in Nizhny Novgorod this season. U Sports Squad at the Hockey Canada Development Summer Showcase. U Sports Squad that featured Alana Sharman of the Bisons defeated both Hockey Canada development teams, the gold and the black team, and then followed up by beating Team Japan as well as they went 3-0 at the summer showcase.
So it kind of shows that maybe some of these U Sports girls should get another opportunity.
The fact that you said that is kind of ironic in that the under 22 team will feature Alberta Panda Alex Posnikoff as she was selected from that U Sports team to join the development team.
Awesome.
Sharman had a pair of goals, by might I add, as well in terms of the four games they played. So good on Alana for getting her name out there. Yeah. Let's jump to their next season, ECHL, the Rapid City Rush. You might go, I don't really know too much about them.
Yep.
We're going to rename them because they're going to become the Rapid City Bison now. Rapid City Bisons. And the reason I say that, the re-signing of former Bison Shaq Morasty happened there earlier this summer.
Yep.
Shaq was traded from the Wichita Thunder to the Rush towards the end of the season. They wanted him back. They signed him to a new contract. So Shaq Morasty is now playing in Cedar Rapids, South Dakota.
CHL, yeah.
Okay. ECHL, yeah. They were one of the CHL teams that got absorbed a couple of years ago by the ECHL. Yep. So he's there. Following that up, on August the 7th, Quentin Lissaway, who played for the Bisons last year, signed with the Rapid City Rush.
Yep.
So Quentin had a great season as well. He got a shot with the Brandon Wheat Kings, spent three seasons there before going to the Acadia Bathurst Titan for 20 games. He had 22 goals, 29 assists in his CHL career. Really stood out last year when he scored 11 goals in his senior year. So congratulations to Quentin on getting that as Bison number 2 was signed there. And then Bison number 3 got signed on August the 9th as defenseman Blake Heinrich got signed by the Rapid City Rush as well. Heinrich spent some time in Cambridge, Minnesota native, spent some time in the USHL, the WHL, and Canada West before being drafted by the Washington Capitals with the 144th overall pick in the fifth round of the 2013 NHL Entry Draft. Heinrich had a pretty solid setup. He's been a rugged defenseman his entire career. He had 171 penalty minutes in the WHL with Portland. He had, I don't know, 227 minutes in USHL with Sioux City, and then piled up a bunch of penalty minutes, 53 I think last year with the Bisons. But he's going to be he loves the physical game, yeah. Folks. You're going to love
Sounds
him.
Like
if you're down in Cedar Rapids in South Dakota, you're going to love this kid for the way he plays the game. He'll get you some points. He'll be decent on in terms of amassing some points, but this guy's a hunter when he's in his own zone. He's looking for the big hit all the time. So fantastic to see how well those guys are going to do next season. So we're going to keep an eye on that. We'll keep you updated here on the show as to how the Rapid City, South Dakota? Rapid City, South Dakota, yes.
So is there a Cedar Rapids in South
Dakota? I believe there is, and that's why I'm getting confused. Mm-hmm. Rapid City Rush in Rapid City, South Dakota. There we go.
We got it.
It shouldn't be hard to remember. It's Rapid City for both.
It's the Rapid City Bisons now. So.
But they're just outside the mountains down there and stuff or whatever. So Rapid City Bisons are going to be the new team that we follow. So good for them. Speaking of Bisons that are moving on. for the first time ever. First time ever, folks. We're going to have a female professional hockey player come out of the University of Manitoba as Venla Hovey is registered for the Canadian Professional Women's Hockey Draft.
Oh, man.
Venla Hovey going to have to move out of Winnipeg to
go
play.
I think she's going to get picked pretty high.
I have some insider information that says she's probably going to get picked pretty high.
Yeah.
I won't tell you by whom, but there's at least two teams. Well, she has to designate two places she wants to play.
There's six teams in the league, right?
Six teams, but she has to designate two places. I know of one place, though, that specifically has been just chomping at the bit to get her to register.
I have a feeling I know which one you're talking about, but I won't say anything.
I can't release any information, but I know of one place for sure. I don't know where I don't know if she's going to designate maybe a Western team as well, because there's only one Western team, but it seems like that could be another opportunity for her. But Either way. Got that going. Speaking of teams out west, Spyros Anastas, you may not know that name, but Spyros Anastas is a guy you probably should keep an eye on. Spyros Anastas came to the Lethbridge Pronghorn as the men's hockey head coach of the men's hockey team. Came from the AHL as he was assistant coach with the Grand Rapids Griffins. Spent four seasons there and is now leaving the squad to go and coach the ECHL South Carolina Stingrays. So Spyros Anastas, don't get me wrong, I get that Lethbridge didn't have very strong teams. They're not going to have a great record, and Spyros certainly didn't. His record was awful in terms of what's going on. But he helped that program kind of get back on the right track. He was doing some great recruiting. He was getting things going. And then this opportunity came up, and Spyros jumped at it. And I can't say, opportunity knocks, you got to answer, right?
If it's a good move for your family and then whatever else.
And that's the thing. I think this is a good move for Spyros to make, especially if he wants to get back into pro hockey. It makes sense for him to do this.
Yeah.
It's a little sad to see him go because, again, Lethbridge is going to be hosting the University Cup this year. They are the hosts for the biggest tournament in university men's hockey in Canada. So it's going to suck because if they don't get a coach fairly soon to get things going and get Lethbridge up and running, it might be a very bad tournament for the hosts, but we'll see what happens.
It might be a very bad year.
Let's take nothing away from what's gone on in Lethbridge. You might remember, I'm going to say he's fairly well-known coach, a guy by the name of Mike Babcock coached there.
I think I've heard of him.
You might have heard of him.
Yeah.
Some other guy named Bill Peters, who now coaches the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, heard of him too.
Yeah, he also coached there for a while.
So, hey, it's a good stepping stone, obviously.
Clearly, Lethbridge is producing some high-quality coaches, so might be a good opportunity for Spyros. So congratulations to him.
It could be a good opportunity for the next guy to...
Could be, exactly. So. Could be a very good opportunity for anybody to get in there as well. The team that Manitoba beat in the final, Western University, they decided to, after a bunch of changes, Kelly Patton, who coached the Western Mustangs last year, she accepted a role as University of Wilfrid Laurier as the manager of women's hockey operations and head coach of the Golden Hawks.
Okay.
So she's taking a bigger role, leaves a vacancy at Western. Western decided to go out and fill it as best they could, and they filled it with one hell of a person. As former assistant coach for the Markham Thunder, Candace Moxley moves in there. Candace Moxley, who helped the team win a Clarkson Cup last year, takes over as the head coach for Western.
Nice.
So now not only do you have a Clarkson Cup winning coach in Concordia in Julie Chu, you now have a Clarkson Cup winning coach in Western in Candace Moxley. Not bad
Good
at all.
Job. Good job, ladies.
Not bad at all. Well done, Candace, for getting in there. I think she's going to be a fantastic addition to that team, and certainly after coming off their silver medal last year, looking to maybe reclaim gold as they did in 2015. Mm-hmm. Here's the big one, though, and this is why I was talking sort of left the coaching to the end, and I think this needs to be talked about. We only got about 8 minutes to go here before we get out of here,
yeah,
but
we won't
I think
take
this
up Skippy's time.
No,
this time.
Yeah, I know Skippy. We owe Skippy a bunch of time, but
bunch of stuff.
Lethbridge is also, after seeing Spyros and Anastas leave, has a big problem on their hands right now. Mm-hmm. Michelle Janis, who's the head coach of the women's hockey team, has been accused by multiple players of harassment towards them and the team overall. This is a serious allegation to make against a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
There is stuff that legitimately was done that probably should never have been done. There was stuff that was done that, or stuff that was said that should have never been said, never been repeated, never been talked about ever again. There was stuff that was reported that went, I don't know if it went, I'm not going to say it went uninvestigated, but it certainly went, sort of flew underneath the radar and kind of disappeared under the carpet. So let's get through the details a little bit. A group of six players came forward and submitted 21 complaints dating back to 2015 regarding Janice's behavior towards the University of Lethbridge women's hockey team under the harassment and discrimination policy on May 13th, 2018. They allege that, quote, Janice bullied players and allowed bullying to go on within the team, that she used playing time to threaten and intimidate players, that she shared confidential information without a player's consent, and that she had told the player, quote, she had to do mandatory counseling after attempting suicide instead of working with the player's treatment doctors. Like, I get that there's a no hazing, like, hazing does not go on in any university. It should not go on in any university.
I mean,
it is frowned upon by everybody. That's what this sounds like. Yeah. And because she's in a position of power, I don't know if she's going to be able, I don't know, number one, if these six players, if they're still playing. I know that some of them are, some of them are not. Yeah. I can say that for certain, just based upon who's been on news reports. I don't know if you can fix a team after this.
Well, especially if it's the same coach and it's the same players that are on the team, it's a tough thing.
So not only do they report it to the university under the harassment and discrimination policy, they reported all these 21 complaints went to the Lethbridge athletic director, Ken McInnes, and it seems he did nothing about them. So not only has it gone to the coach, has the coach been, the allegation against the coach is that she's harassing players, gone to the athletic director did nothing over these 3 years, and now it's gone to the university, and their findings were that she did harass players, and they'll get her counseling for it. Not fired as they requested or suspended from her duties as head coach.
Yeah.
We'll get her counseling and she can continue to coach.
Kind of, I want to ask it, but I don't know if I can.
I think you can. We got 5 minutes.
If it was a male, do you think there would be a different story?
So here's the question. That question has been asked in social media and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what the policy is. I don't know what the case is. I don't know why she wouldn't be punished. And I don't know if that is a concern. You can make that case, I think, but you're only getting deeper into murky water if you do that.
Yeah.
I think the fact that 21 complaints have gone more or less slapped on the wrists for what Janice did.
For years.
21 complaints. In terms of being guilty of harassment, if she's found guilty, as the university found, the repercussions are... The punishment doesn't fit the crime. That's essentially what it comes down to.
Yeah.
The exact words from the university are, and I'll read this word for word, and I'm going to get this through as fast as I can. Specific steps the university will be taking include counseling for Coach Janice and more in-depth education and training through the Canadian Coaching Association of Canada and other relevant sources. A code of conduct will be created for the upcoming year to provide assistance to govern behavior, and formal monthly reports will be required to the Executive Director, Sport and Recreation Services, and Vice Presidents, Finance Administration, outlining the actions taken, the improvements in behavior and culture. There will also be a formation of a leadership team with representatives from student athletes, coach and assistant coach, and a member from the university of athletic staff, with the goal to create a safe environment where each student athlete feels that they can have a voice and the confidence that issues will be heard and addressed by all key stakeholders. So in other words, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create a bunch of groups to make sure this doesn't happen again, because we need her as a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. She needs help and she needs counseling, but I think she should just be suspended from her duties for sure. Maybe not necessarily be fired. I mean, I think sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and just get rid of someone right away. But they ruled
that she did commit harassment.
Yeah, but I think also
a policy for that?
No, I know. But I'm just saying sometimes you need to give people chances, right? So get her the help that she needs. Just listen to me. Just give her help, but suspend her. until that help is gone. And she's found that she...
There's at least one woman who has come forward and said she is no longer playing hockey and will not come back to the university because of what Janice did to her.
Yeah. See that? I mean, yeah. It's terrible. It is.
If that's not a fireable offense, I don't know what is.
I mean, and I think any other university or whatever it is has probably fired people.
So because they didn't get the response they were looking for, the women who filed the complaint with the university are now asking U Sports to review the case as well, as U Sports has a very clear policy regarding harassment, and their discipline committee, in receipt of the investigation report by the harassment investigator, will not only assess but enforce what it believes is the appropriate punishment to the respondent, a.k.a. Michelle Janice, if the investigator finds that harassment has been committed. One such punishment that U Sports holds is the removal of certain privileges up to and including expulsion or dismissal of that coach. So now, because they didn't get the answer they wanted from Lethbridge, now Lethbridge, the entire University of Lethbridge can be embarrassed by U Sports because they didn't do the right thing.
It's like going through the justice system and you know, you go to the federal courts and they don't do nothing. You go up higher and higher and higher and higher.
And you
eventually get the result you want.
Well, and again, you can appeal, you can do whatever you have to do, you can do get all the people looking at whatever you want. But at this point, you've destroyed a hockey program. There are going to be women who don't play next year that people are going to go, where is she?
Yeah.
And then you automatically know she's one of the complainants.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think she should be coaching right now anyways. I think that's going to be tough on the team. I mean, it's for her herself, I mean, she's not going to have any, you know, no respect, no nothing.
We've got to get out of here. Skippy's in here right away with Free Range Radio, but I think it comes down to one thing. And just start. That's your answer right there, folks, right there.
Some respect.
So for that, folks, we are out of here for another week. We're going to have a complete wrap-up show next week as we get everything going. Probably going to have to talk about everything that's going on. Hopefully we won't have to worry about any more legends passing away. But hope you enjoyed the summer of interviews. We may have one more coming up. Just depends on what's going on. But as of right now, we're going to get back into the swing of things because hockey season's just around the corner, folks. We are out of here for another week. Beans, anything you want to say before we get going?
No, I think we're good. Looks terrible outside.
Wow, it's the smoke from BC, so.
Thanks, BC.
Thanks for blowing smoke, BC. With that, we are out of here for another week, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. It's the Hockey Show. We'll see you next week.